Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
All right. Let's take it to that level where Paul wants us to be. You're part of a team, and a team needs a coach. A coach is a leader. A coach is somebody who teaches. What does Paul say to the people who gather as the church? And what does Paul say to coaches, teachers, preachers about false and true preachers and teachers and coaches? 2 Timothy 4, listen to the first words. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead. This is how Paul starts out. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus Christ, okay, who came to earth, lived that perfect life, died for you and me, rose on the third day. It's about Jesus Christ, who is, now notice this, the judge of the living and the dead. We proclaim together the Nicene Creed. In the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, this is what's said is on the second article. First article is always about the Father, then about Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Where do we get that teaching? Right here from Paul, who is to judge the living and the dead, meaning only God Almighty can judge. And that's why we know Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He's coming as the judge. How do we know that? Paul explains it this way, and by his appearing and his kingdom, the fact that God left heaven and came to earth and lived among us, the incarnation, Emmanuel, God is with us, and his kingdom. There has never been a greater kingdom on earth than the Christian church. It is by far the largest and the greatest, and Jesus made this promise, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. Because of that, we know Jesus is going to return. Now, he speaks to the coaches. He speaks to the church. How to be aware of false or true coaches. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, what does that mean? It's the two extremes, in season and out of season. We're used to four seasons here in Oklahoma, are we not? Summer, winter, spring, and fall, or fall, winter, spring, and summer. And everything goes in seasons. Some seasons, some people like the winter, some people like the summer. Maybe you have a favorite season. Paul is saying, listen, the church goes through seasons. Christendom throughout the world goes through seasons. And you as a Christian will go through seasons. And make sure in or out of season, you know and preach the word of God. And this is what he says about it. Rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Now, folks, this was written roughly 2,000 years ago. How true it is even today. Basically, what Paul is doing and saying to us here is a coach, a teacher, a preacher, a Christian is somebody who should hold the line, preach the word, and the Word is about Jesus. And I want to illustrate that this morning. To do that, I need a couple volunteers. Okay, I need two volunteers. All right, Skip Brandy, come on. This is not a tug of war. Okay, over here. All right, thanks, Skip. All right. A veteran standing up. Okay. Now, I can say words, but an illustration, even with children, goes a long ways. I want you to imagine this line. Now, when Skip is a veteran, military people know what this means. Hold the line. If you're on a team, a football team, you ever play football? Yeah, you know what it means when the coach says, offense, hold the line. Defense, hold the line. Well, it is Paul in 2 Timothy 4 who sang to the Christian church, preachers and teachers, hold the line. Now, the line that they're holding is red. I want that to represent the Word of God, okay, and the words of Jesus found in the Word of God. Have you ever had a red letter edition Bible? You know what that means? The words of Jesus are in red. Paul is saying, hold the line. And what churches do and people do is they collect and they gather what their itching ears want to hear. And what that means is there are people who do not hold the line, they go above the line. And it goes like this: Jesus plus speaking in tongues. Jesus plus homage to the Pope. Jesus plus good works. Jesus plus prayer to the saints and to Mother Mary. Jesus plus is the only way to be saved. Jesus plus adhering to this church, not that church. And what happens is this is what the itching ears want to hear. Jesus plus, you got to spend some time in purgatory to pay for your sins. But then there are those that go below the line. They don't hold the line. They go below it. It's Jesus minus the teaching of creation, because we know that it all began with a big bang and evolution. So you minus the teaching of Jesus about creation, who talked about a six-day creation. It's Jesus minus his teaching on marriage, on salvation. It's Jesus minus sin and the condemnation of sin. It is Jesus minus the requirement to repent. And so you have those churches that don't hold the line. They either add to it or they subtract. But this I want you to remember. If you take anything home, what are we here for? To hold the line. Hey, let's give glory to the two who helped me out, okay? Thank you, Skip. Thank you, man. Hold the line is what Paul is saying. Because when you go above Jesus plus something or Jesus minus something, what happens, I believe, is the church will fall apart and it'll be in a season of decline. I want to read to you an article that I found just last week preparing for this sermon. It was an article on the internet, you can find it, and it goes like this: Europe's abandoning churches is a warning for America. Talk about seasons of a church. They're closing so many churches in Europe, but entrepreneurs are making them and repurposing them into skating park, gymnasium training arenas because of the high ceilings. You know, they can do gymnastics, museums, supermarkets, gyms, and even bars. And the article goes on, and the actual attendance is abysmal in Europe. Less than 2% of the population darkening the doors of church on a regular basis in Britain, France, and Germany. And in the meanwhile, the Muslim population is growing in Europe. Ooh. I remember when I went to Ephesus for the first time, at one time before Paul visited, it was a pagan city. Paul comes in on one of his missionary journeys, plants a little church, and the church blossoms and grew in a great season. Roman Empire became a Christian empire, and Ephesus became a Christian city. At one time, one of the seven wonders of the world, mythology ruled Artemis. And you can go to Ephesus today, and there's a foundation of that great temple of mythology. And right across the street, literally, is the foundation of a Christian church. And the only thing that remains is the baptismal font. It's no longer Christian. That season has come around. It's now a pagan city again. The heart of Christianity was once all the countries in Europe. What is happening? They're going through seasons. But let me tell you, when you don't hold the line, when you add plus or negative when it comes from Jesus, things fall apart. Let me tell you, interpreting the Bible is not hard. Understanding the Bible is not difficult. If you know the words of Jesus, if you believe in the words of Jesus, listen to the words of Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He did not say, he that believeth and pays homage to a church, to Joseph Smith, to works righteousness, to purgatory, or speaking in tongues. He that believes in me, Jesus said, and is baptized will be saved. Listen to holding the line. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Nothing added. When it comes to churches who take away, listen to the words of Jesus, the red line edition, because the interpretation of the Bible is very, very basic. What does Jesus say? And what did he do while he was on earth? Listen to the words of Jesus, explaining some of the moral dilemmas we have in this world. Okay? Haven't you read that in the beginning, there is a beginning. The Creator, Jesus believed in the Creator. The Creator made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, not his father and father, not his mother and mother, will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two, male and female, will become one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let no man to say, that is wrong. It can be between one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. It is so easy to hold the line when you know the words of Jesus, who believed in a six-day creation story, who describes to us what marriage is, what it means to raise children. It is Jesus who talks about there is a heaven, there is a hell. Now, I don't know all the different churches in Tulsa and Broken Arrow area. I'm a Lutheran minister. And I know in the Lutheran church, like many denominations, there's the very conservative side and the liberal side. And I know in the liberal side of the Lutheran church, some of you may know it, it's called the ELCA. They go way below the line. I mean way below the line. You don't have to believe in angels. It's Jesus minus angels. It's Jesus minus what he teaches about marriage and homosexuality. It is Jesus minus all the unpleasant things. And in the 28 years that I've been a pastor in Tulsa, two of the five churches have closed. How many of you remember Carlton Pearson? He had one of the largest churches in Oklahoma at one time. And he went from Jesus minus hell. There is no hell. And his church folded. He believed that, oh yeah, there's a Jesus, but everybody's going to heaven. Meaning, if you don't hold the line, I believe here in America, if we don't have churches who hold the line, we'll end up like some of the churches in Europe. And church buildings will be closed down, and the people will be lost. And I don't want that to happen. And Paul did not want that to happen. What did Paul say? Hold the line. Because a time is coming when people won't put up with sound doctrine. What sound doctrine? What Jesus said. And they'll gather for themselves hordes of people to teach them, to coach them what their itching ears want to hear. You think he was thinking, projecting the internet, the web? Think about it. Now at your fingertips, all you got to do is punch in. You can get a teacher, a coach, who will teach you anything you ever want to hear. Prosperity, okay? He'll teach you Jesus minus everything. It's all on the internet. But I want you to know, that has never changed throughout the history of mankind from the beginning, from one season to the other. People have always been this way. In fact, I want to show you. Put your finger here in 2 Timothy. Then I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 30. Old Testament this time. Isaiah 30. In the middle of your Bible is Psalms. Right to the right of that, if you turn, you'll find Isaiah. Isaiah 30. Let me tell you what a prophet of God had to deal with. Okay, this was written 700 years before Jesus. And it's what Isaiah, what God says to Isaiah about his people. This is the church, folks. Paul is writing to people in the church. A time is coming when they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Now, 700 years earlier, God is speaking to Isaiah about his people. This is not the pagan world he's talking about. Neither is Paul. He's talking about people within the church. Isaiah 30, beginning with verse 8. Just follow along as I read. And now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book. Write it down twice, because this is important, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. Meaning in 2018, God says, Isaiah, write it down because I want the people in 2018 to know this happened. You ready? Verse 9. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, the coaches, do not see, and to the prophets, teachers and coaches and pastors, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Don't ruffle our feathers. Prophesy illusions, mythology. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more. Notice this. I don't want to hear any more about the Holy One of Israel. Thumbing their nose at God. You won't believe this paper. If you have the paper, Sunday paper, if you get it, read the article in the section where it talks about a country in Europe. 18 years ago, it was illegal to promote homosexuality. Today, in that same country, 18 years later, it's mandatory. Alternative lifestyle must and has to be taught to the public school students. The Bible has been thrown out a long time ago, but in 18 years, it is now mandatory. It's like in our public school system here. What's mandatory? Minus creation, the Big Bang, evolution. You see, it's always been this way. There are people who don't want to hear about what Jesus said. Now, let me put it in perspective, why people don't want to hear that. If you follow the words of Jesus, if you hold the line, it is so clear. This is what you're going to hear from Jesus. You and me, you are a sinner. And you are guilty. Number 3, you are responsible. And number four, you're lost and you're going to die. Now, can you imagine how many people would want to hear that from a preacher? You're a sinner. You're guilty. You're responsible. And you're lost and going to die. Have a nice day. Now, people don't want to hear that. Talk to me about smooth things. Talk to me about mythology. Oh, everybody goes to heaven. There's no need for repentance. Just try to do your best. Now, you know, I'm not convinced you're getting it. Let me try it again. If you have children, I want you to think of one child. If you have grandchildren, I want you to think of that one grandchild, that one special grandchild you may have. If you have no children, think of a nephew or a niece. And I want you to, in the mind's eye, put that beautiful child in front of you. For me, it's my last grandchild, or my youngest grandchild, 7 years old, Ari. She's the cutest thing in the world. If I was brave, I'd put a big picture up, but I don't want to bore you with that. But I'm thinking of my little 7-month-old grandchild named Ari with blue eyes. And I want you to think of your child, your grandchild, your nephew, your niece. And as you're looking, look into those eyes and know this: she's a sinner. She's guilty. She's responsible. And she's lost. And she's going to die. That's holding the line. Now let me tell you what the world says. What the itching ears want you to hear. What she needs is soccer lessons. What she needs is swimming lessons. What she needs to do is have a good school where they teach her about the Big Bang and evolution. I'm a man of God, and because of what Paul says to me, I want you to know I'm going to hold the line, and this is what I'm going to say to you. She needs a Savior. She needs her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She needs to hear the truth about everything. She needs to hear that, yes, she's a sinner, but it is Jesus who died for her, and because of that, the Father says, you're a saint. Yes, she's guilty, but it is Jesus and his sacrifice that takes the guilt away. Yes, she's responsible, but Jesus says, I will take that responsibility. She once was an orphan, and I make her part of mine, my family, the children of Israel, the children of God. Yes, she's lost, but let me tell you, she has been found. Jesus talked about the prodigal son. Jesus talked about a heaven, and there is a hell. And he talked about death as if it was an everyday common occurrence, and that it is. Jesus put it this way: I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will live even though he dies. In my Father's house there's many rooms. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be where I am. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus holds that line. Nothing plus, nothing minus. I am the way. I am the truth. And I'm the life. No one goes to the Father except through me alone. Not works righteousness, not through a church, but through me alone. That's holding the line. That's what people within the church have to make sure a pastor does, a coach does, that he holds the line. That's what he's preaching. Preachers have to make sure they're holding the line, that it's all about Jesus, because that clarifies and makes the teaching of the Bible so easy, so understandable. That's why a red line edition of the Bible is so important. You see, there's a lot of itching ears. There's a lot of people who will gather and congregate preachers to preach what they want to hear. Here's the bottom line. You ready? This is how you know if the preacher, the coach, the teacher, the leader is true or false. A false teacher will talk about you and what you can do. Jesus plus positive thinking. He'll talk about the accomplishments you can do and how you can be glorified and how you can have prosperity. You. That's a false teacher. This is what a true teacher teaches, preaches, and proclaims. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he has done for you and for me. He has died. He has risen. He has given us grace and forgiveness, and he has given us his words to live by. And if we live by those words and we hold the line, it's all going to be okay, because he works for the good of all those who love him. Now, I started out, and I'm going to close, with an object lesson. And the object lesson is what I used with the children. You know this is a carpenter's toolbox, and there's tools in there. Maybe you've heard of it's called the allegory of the carpenter. It goes like this. At one time, all the tools in the carpenter's box were so happy. They were created by the carpenter. They were gathered and put in the box to do his bidding, to be used by him as a team to build things. One day, the carpenter left, and the tools soon forgot about the carpenter. And it started out like this. The pencil stood up and said, "You know, I want everybody to hear what I have to say. I'm upset about the ruler. Because, you know, the only thing the ruler does is measure and judge." And so the ruler stood up and said, "Oh, if that's what we're going to talk about, I want you to hear what I have to say about the hammer. All the hammer does is pound and make a lot of noise." "Oh," said the hammer. "Oh, if you're going to hear what people say about me or the tools say about me, I want you to hear what I have to say about the plane. The plane is very superficial, doesn't do a whole lot." And the plane stood up and said, "Well, then you got to hear what I have to say about the saw. Now, the saw, all he ever does is cut and separate. And that's not good." And the saw stood up and said, "If you're going to talk about me, I want you to hear about the sandpaper. The sandpaper, he's always rough. Always rubbing things the wrong way. And sometimes even goes against the grain. But I want you to hear about the drill. First of all, the drill is always boring." "Oh, you got that, huh? All he ever does is dig a hole." The drill stands up and says, "All right. I want to tell you about the pencil. The pencil, even though you sharpen him, he grows dull quickly. And he's always lost and can't be found." All of a sudden, in the middle of all this noise and chatter, the door opens and the carpenter comes in. And the carpenter takes the pencil and the ruler and begins to mark on a piece of wood. Then he takes the saw and he cuts it, the drill, and he drills a hole. He takes the screwdriver, puts a screw in, begins to build with these tools, and finally sand, and rubs it smooth. And the first thing the carpenter builds with the tools is a pulpit where the word of God is proclaimed and the good news about Jesus is proclaimed. The next thing the carpenter builds is an altar. An altar where an offering is brought, where the word of God is placed, and where the Lord's Supper is placed, and people celebrate this sacred meal where Jesus forgives people, renews people, and strengthens them through a sacred meal. And Jesus said these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Then that same carpenter takes the tools and builds a baptismal font where people are washed with the word of God applied with water. And a child or an adult is marked a child of God. Their sins are forgiven. They're renewed and they're strengthened and the Holy Spirit is given, if not already. And people become a part of a family, a team called the church. You see, the most important thing, folks, is not this building. It's you and you and you and me. We're part of His tools that He uses to change this world, to hold the line, and to make a difference, because we're all part of the one team, the Christian church. May we always, from this point forward, hold the line in our marriage, in our family, as a team in the church. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, here and now, I pray that I've held the line and spoken about the word of God and the words of Jesus. Oh, there are itching ears all around. They want things to be smooth. They want the Christian church not to talk about heaven and hell, not to talk about a sacrifice of a Savior or even the need, but yet we know that everyone here, everyone we know, is a sinner, is guilty, responsible, and lost, and going to die. But something can be done about it. The church has the only answer, and the answer is Jesus. It's that name above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, everybody should bow. We know that. I thank you for the church. I thank you for everybody here. Lord, help us through your Spirit to always hold the line. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.